Glory to God. Look at you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. 20 years. Has it been that long?
1995.
How time flies when you're having fun. We've been through a lot of stuff together. Pastor Becky's faithful, isn't she? My goodness. I know she's abounding in blessing because a faithful woman abounds in blessing. And you are faithful. Boy, it's good to be here this morning, and I've been looking forward to this. It's such an honor to be here and serve the Word. I know most of you all here, not everybody, see some new faces, but you got a great pastor. Pastor Bill and I, we've known Pastor Jack and Patty for 29 years or something like that. Their children and our children grew up together. They probably had our children as much as we've had our children. We've had their children. It's just a lot of history there. Prayed a lot of hours with Pastor Jack. Prayed a lot of hours with Pastor Becky. And I know you got great leadership here. And I love what God is doing in Georgetown. Amen. This is a city of revival. And this revival is far-reaching around the world, and you're a part of it, a very vital part of it. Pastor Jack was with us Saturday last week at the Intercessors Conference, and he taught an amazing message. It was on warfare, but he spent much of the time, and I'm sure you've heard the message, but you want to get Saturday's message and listen to it because it's under a whole other anointing. And He was teaching on possessing that second heaven, the soul. Amen? And he just taught that in a way that only Pastor Jack can teach it. And we're going to go in a direction where the soul is concerned this morning. But actually what we're going to do is we're going to get down into the spirit of the mind. And we're not going to go in the direction of warfare so much, though it would involve warfare to possess that. But we're going to take this and talk about how we need to connect with one another. See, there is a way that God wants us to connect with one another in the body of Christ. There is a way that you need to connect with your pastor, that you need to connect with your spouse, that you need to connect with your kids. And there's this thing called the spirit of the mind, that if we don't deal with that and take care of that, we're not really going to be able to make the connections in the right way that we need to make them. That we're not going to be able to really have that full release of the love of God that we want to see ourselves go to. You know, Romans 10:17, you don't need to turn there, but Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by the revelation of the word. And it's only by the revelation of the word, our faith in that word, that we really can know, love, believe God. It's really the only way that we can know, love, and believe ourselves, be confident in ourselves. It's really the only way that we can know, love, and be confident about one another. It takes the very foundation of that word, right? Now, turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm going to teach this with fear and trembling because Pastor Jack is the covenant pastor of Grace Ministries. And though I'm not really going to be speaking on covenant, it is going to be about our interaction with one another. The only way we can truly connect with one another, the only way we can truly have agape, is by taking off that old man and putting on the new man. Now, here in Ephesians chapter 4, this is some of my favorite scriptures here. And just real quickly, just a quick overview here. And we start with verse 17, and we get on down through verse 24. Paul here's describing, first of all, starting out with verse 17 and verse 18, verse 19, he's describing here what life is like without Christ Jesus, that this is the life that the heathen's living. But yet, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church of Ephesus, and he's telling the church, I don't want you to live a life like the rest of the world lives. And he says, this is how the world is living. Now, he wouldn't be sending out that message unless we have opportunity to live like the world, right? And certainly that's the truth. You look around the church and there's a sin problem in some parts of the church. That's not really the direction I'm going with this. But you see people who are born again Christians. I don't know how long they'll remain born again, but they're sinning like the world is sinning. And they put it under the title of grace. God's got it covered, right? And you look around the church and you see the church so many parts of the church are living defeated lives like the world is living a defeated life. And God has more for us. And he's saying, I don't want your life to be like the heathens. In fact, we're to see change. Say change. It should be in the heart of every Christian that they want to change. And certainly when we were born again, we knew something happened. We weren't quite sure what happened, but we knew change had happened. And we were made a new creation in Christ Jesus. We were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We became anointed ones. But there's to be continuous change in our life. But how many Christians stop right there? They got born again. They got their ticket to heaven. They know they're changed, but they don't realize there's more. Then you got the Pentecostals. Amen. And we got filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. We weren't quite sure why we did, but we just knew that that was the next place we were supposed to go. And so here now we maybe spoke in tongues the time we got born, the time we got filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe a few times after that, if we felt a little shiver in our spine, I was raised Pentecostal. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. But that's as far as we went. But God's got constant change for our life. And Paul, as he's going through these verses here in Ephesians chapter 4, he lets us know, all right, there's a change that's supposed to take place. And first of all, to have change, you got to be taught. And he talks about being taught. But it's not enough to be taught. You got to learn, right? We always have the four grounds. You got the wayside soil. You got the stony soil. You got the thorny soil. And then you got that soil that's passed those three tests, came through those three tests, and have made their soil the good soil. And they're ready to receive the taught word of God and allow that word to produce fruit in their lives. That's who I'm ministering to this morning. Amen. Is that soil right there? And then he says, so they got to be taught. He says they got to learn. They got to take what they've learned and put off the old man. They must take what they learn and renew their mind, and they take what they've learned and put on the new man. Now here in verse 17, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now that word vanity, in the Strong's, it means a transientness. I'll talk about that in a minute. It means there's a depravity there. And you further look at it in Thayer's, and it means that it's devoid of truth, and it's frail, and it's in want of vigor. Transientness. You don't hear that word transient much these days. Now, we have homeless people in our communities. And when I was growing up, they were called transients. Anyone old enough to remember that, right? And the reason your mother told you. And what's the difference? Where you look at homelessness in our communities today, it's people who are from our community who have become homeless, and they're usually staying in our community. See, when I was growing up, and I grew up in Toledo, that you had the transient. Now, the transient was someone who was homeless, but they more than likely were not from your community. They were passing through. You didn't know when they were going to be there. You didn't know where they were going. You didn't know where they came from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Totally unstable in their life. I'm not saying their stableness and homelessness. I'm just trying to give you the difference here in the terms that we use then. And yet he's talking about this person who has vanity in their mind. Their mind is you just, there's no telling where they're coming from. There's no telling where they're going. You don't know how long they're going to stay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's that mind that's transient. Now, my favorite definition, and the one that's very accurate, is it means it's just void of the truth. That's what makes it transient. That they got that mind, but it's void of the truth. And truth, Jesus, he gave us the definition of truth in John chapter 17. He says, Father, thy word is truth. Now, Paul's telling the church of Ephesus, he says, I don't want you to walk around with a mind that is void of the truth, right? Now, he goes on and he says here, he says, the vanity of your mind, that word mind, it's the Greek word nous. It means the intellect. Thayer's, I like the way it defines it. It's the mind comprising alike the faculties of perceiving and understanding, those of feeling and judging and determining. Really, when I look at nous and I look at psuche, I believe they're very, very closely related. I think they're so closely related you can almost put one in place of the other. It's talking about the mind and the will and the emotions. And so he says he doesn't want us walking around with our mind, our will, and our emotions void of the truth. Now, the Good News Bible says it this way. He says, in the Lord's name, when I warn you, do not continue to live like the heathen whose thoughts are worthless. Say worthless. God's Words translation says, so I tell you and encourage you in the Lord's name not to live any longer like the other people in the world. Their minds are set on worthless things. And so that lets me know that if I let my mind be void of the truth of God, I don't care how much education I've had. I don't care how many books I've read. I don't care how much training I've gone through. When my mind is void of the word of God, my mind is worthless in the kingdom of God. My mind has got to be flooded with the word of God, as does yours, right? Now he goes on. Well, let me first say this. Look back at verse 16. In verse 16, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, combated by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I believe most of you have been around long enough to understand that the chapter divisions, the verse divisions, even those little titles we get in there, those were put in there by the translators so that we could more easily read the word. And I'm glad, right? Because if I would tell you to go to this passage, but I didn't have chapter 4 to tell you and verse 16 to tell you, we'd be spending the whole morning just looking that up. So we're thankful for that. But it's important to us to study the word and take that out of the way to fully see what God's wanting to get across to us. Now, I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, between verse 16 and 17, I've got a title there. And so it would make you think, okay, he's changed the subject here. But I don't believe he's changed the subject here. We move on up and he talks about the fivefold ministry. He talks about the fivefold ministry, and the fivefold ministry is there to teach the body of Christ, to prepare the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And it comes right on down and it lets us know this is where the body of Christ is to be. That they're to build one another up. They're to experience growth. And they do this by building one another up with the agape of God. And then he goes on and says, now I don't want you to walk around like the rest of the world walks around with your mind void of the truth and your understanding darkened. And he's getting over to us. There is no way that we can be that body
that is walking in the agape of God and building one another up and increasing the body of Christ unless we go and start taking care of this mind. We have got, you can have the best evangelism program. You can have the best advertisement. You can have the best television programs. And those are all great and ordained by God. But if we don't have a body of Christ that has taken the time to get down into the spirit of their mind so that the new creation in Christ Jesus can step forth in the fullness of the love of God, we're not going to experience the growth, the building up that we're to experience. Amen? Because this is God's way. Now, he goes on here in verse 18 and says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, having their understanding. That now, when he's going somewhere with this, the understanding here means that deep thought of the mind. Say deep thought. And he says, when this is darkened. Now, in other words, if we're walking around in the vanity of our mind, if we're walking around with our mind devoid of the truth, then our understanding is going to be darkened. And being darkened is going to cause us to be alienated from the life of God. Alienated. Now, he's talking to the church. Alienated, to be estranged away. To be a non-participant, to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy. Do you see that? Now, most times when I've taught this, and I've taught it right, I've said when we have our understanding darkened, when we are walking around with our mind void of the truth of God, then we are going to be non-participants. We're going to be separated from this Zoe life of God. And then I go on and I teach about how the life of God is a life of prosperity and a life of healing. And it is. Amen. And we understand, according to 3 John 2, that the only way we will prosper and be in health is even as, equal to, our soul prospering. But the life of God, this Zoe life of God, all the vigor of God, all the nature of God, all that comprises of who he is. Well, I can sum that up in 1 John 4, 7, and 8, which simply put means God is love, right? So then this lets me know that if I'm not actively renewing my mind with the Word of God, and therefore walking with that deep part, the recesses of my mind in darkness, it's going to alienate me from the love of God. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you. No, we know God loves to infinity. Amen? God's love knows no measure. God loved you and I when we were just as heathen as can be. Drug-riddled, a drunk, just messing around all the time. And in all that, God loved me. And he loved me as much then as he loves me now. But you know, when I'm walking around with my understanding darkened, then it keeps me separated from the benefits of his love. His love has given me prosperity. His love has given me healing. His love has given me peace and joy. His love has given me the anointing and the power of God. And though he hath given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, if this appears walking around in darkness, it keeps me separated from that. But that's not where I'm going with this. If it'll keep me separated from the love of God, then it'll keep me separated from the love that flows through me to others. I can only walk in the capacity of the love of God to the capacity that my mind is being renewed. And what we're getting to is the spirit of our mind. Amen? And child of God,
all that we do, it's all about motive, isn't it? All that we do, if we joining on it, that's going to destroy yokes and remove burdens, then it's got to be motivated by love. It's got to be rooted in love. It's got to be grounded in love. Amen. Now I'm talking to the love church here. I know that. Amen. And I mean, Bill and I, this is home, home away from home for us. We come in here and we just felt right at home. I got a cup of coffee, and I just kind of slipped back there. Pastor Becky thought maybe I was just hiding. I says, no, I'm just relaxing. I'm home. You know, you're our family, and we love you so much. And we come in here as soon as I walk right into the love of God. Amen? You guys understand covenant. You're a covenant body. I'm hoping that I'm bringing or will be bringing across to you something that's just going to just take it a little bit higher into a greater release than you've known so far. Amen? And so there's this love of God that he has for us to go. Let me get ahead of myself a little bit here. Now I'm talking to the choir, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, she's talking to the choir. You never know where this message is going to go. But I have found that if I have a problem with my pastor, if I have a problem with my spouse, if I have a problem with my children, if I have a problem with those people at the church, I see a common denominator there. Is me. Or it could be, you know, that you see, someone could see a pattern where they have an issue with somebody that's very significant in their life. And they'll get past that, but then there it is again. And they get past that episode, but there it is again. And they get past that episode, and there it is again. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Amen. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, right? And you realize this is not to be an ongoing battle all this time. Whether it be with my mate, whether it be with my pastor, whether it be with my children or the people at the church or work. You know, when someone finds that they keep changing jobs because they keep having issues at the job place, the problem might not be the job. You think? And yet, we know, as not only born-again, spirit-filled Christians, but Word of Faith Christians, we're to take every thought captive into obedience to Christ Jesus. So we're doing that. Casting down imaginations. But here we are, taking thoughts captive, casting down imaginations, So we got through it that week, but a few weeks later, we're facing the same battle all over again. And after this has gone on for some time, maybe we need to go a little deeper. Look at your neighbor and say, a little deeper. Hallelujah. And so he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated, being separated, being isolated from the life of God, this morning we're talking about that love nature of God, that thing of God that connects us with everyone else, through the ignorance that is in them. He did say, my people are destroyed of ignorance because of the blindness of their heart. See, blindness. I want you to note this word. Blindness means stupidity. I like that. Just being stupid. It also means callousness. It means a hardness, a covering with a callous, a stubbornness. You know, hold your place here and go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we find some of our favorite verses here In verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We've come to realize how important this is to our walk with Christ. We've come to understand we have got to have a working revelation knowledge of who he is, and that continually being fresh and increasing in our lives. And thus, as we're realizing more and more of who he is, then we're realizing more and more than who we are. But we got to put action to it. When we realize who he is and come into the revelation of who we are, then there's got to be some kind of corresponding action that goes with that, that activates that revelation in our life. That's why it is very necessary that we be more than hearers, but we're also doers of the word. And see, what I found so much in the charismatic realm, boy, we can quote you some scripture now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that changes not. He healed yesterday. He heals today. He'll heal tomorrow. Hallelujah. Yes, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are for today. But what are we doing with it? Amen. All that revelation is a revealing of who he is, who we are, but we got to more than quote it. We got to put action to it. Now, why did I take you here right after the definition of blindness? Because see, when truth comes, truth is to get us in motion. Did he not say, arise, shine, for thy light has come? So when the revelation of the word comes, it's to get us in motion, to get us in action. When we refuse, this is going to get better, I promise. When we refuse, we are resisting. Mm-hmm. Now, when they play that guitar, and I know they have picks and things, but so often they want to develop a callus, right? And so they strum and they strum and they strum, and it gets calloused, it gets tough, it gets hard to where they can't feel pain anymore. You go to a very dangerous church, because I know your pastor. One, he preaches the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Mm-hmm. And he gives you a lot of truth. And every bit of the truth we receive, we get the opportunity to activate it in our lives. But what we got to understand is every time that truth comes forth, that truth is a directive of the Lord, amen, to put us in motion. Now, blindness. Go back over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a doer. Having their understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. That part I'm really not teaching on this morning, but I fulfilled that verse in my life. Feeling, being past feeling, having given themselves over unto all lasciviousness. That's just casting off all restraint. I was born again at the age of 14, spirit-filled at the age of 14. But from that point on, I didn't have any change in my life. And no truth was coming forth in my life. So my soul was devoid of the truth of God. I went to a religious church. And so as I would face the challenges that came my way in life, I wasn't equipped to handle it. And so I'd get knocked down time after time. See, we've not so been taught in the Lord, amen? We've been equipped here, well equipped here, right? But I went from being a born-again, spirit-filled girl to at the age of 21, I tell you what, I cast off all restraint. Everything that I didn't do all that time, I made it up for in a very short period of time. And are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what a mind void of the truth will do. But let's look at this. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him, say I've heard him, and have been taught by him, say I've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Here's what I'm getting to. Verse 23. And be renewed. Say renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, this word renewed means to renovate, to have a total renovation, a total reformation. Now, he's not talking about the mind. He's talking about the spirit of the mind. Some call it the unconscious part of the mind. Some call it the well of the mind. To be renewed is a present passive infinitive. In other words, it's going to be an ongoing process. You just are going to continue to do it. We will never have arrived. We just continue to go from faith to faith, glory to glory, but we will just continue to do this. And that, and this is, this renewal is what God does in the spirit of our mind as we're cooperating with him. Again, hold your place here and go to Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me just stop right there. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more. Say much more. Much more in my absence. Now, Paul, he's speaking to the church of Philippi here, and he's saying to the church, he's saying, now listen, I know you. He says, you're coming to church, and you got that Christianese down real well. You know those all those faith scriptures to say. You know all the right things to say. And he says, that's good. You're here, and you're practicing that right here. But he says, much more. What is the most important is what you do when you leave this place. What are you doing with this word when you leave this place? Amen. It's when you walk out those doors, what you're doing with what you get in here counts. Now, we're talking about renewing the spirit of your mind. I'm going to get to this about the spirit of the mind here in a minute. But what is so necessary for you to really grab what you need to grab where the spirit of the mind is concerned, that work mostly is going to be done at home. It's not going to happen Sunday morning. It's not going to happen Sunday night. It's not going to happen Thursday night. What happens to the spirit of your mind will be determined by what you do with this after you get home. And Paul's telling the church, he says, it's mostly important that when I'm absent, when I'm not in your face reminding you what to do, that you take this and you practice this at home. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, this is what happens. You're here this morning. You'll be at service tonight. You'll be here Thursday night. And God's working in you his will. He's saying, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm wanting you to do. This is what he's doing. Amen. Working in you his will. But now what you and I do, we go home and we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as long as we're taking the resources he's giving us right here, and he's putting it right down here in our heart, and we go home and take it, now we work it out. We work it out. You know, Bill bought me a great yoga mat, brought me great supply of weights, and you know where I'm going with this. So we took it from the store, and we took it home, and there it is. And you know, as long as it sits there, you'd think there'd be a difference. We went and got it. All the supplies there. Got the DVDs. Got the protein shakes. We took it all home. But I didn't see the benefit until I started working out with it. Are you hearing me? Now see, I'm not going to work out with the weights at the store I bought it from. I'm not going to mix up that protein shake at the health store I bought it from. I took it home. And when I took it home and worked out with the equipment that I got, then I begin to benefit from it. Amen? And you're being equipped. Now see, it's a matter of how bad you want it. Mm-hmm. I had to decide I really wanted the change the workout was going to make in my life. Right? And the same is true when God is equipping us with his word so that we can get down into the spirit of our mind. We got to determine how bad do we want this. And if we'll take what God's bringing from behind this and take it home and cooperate with him, working out with him, then he can get down in the spirit of that mind and totally renovate the spirit of the mind. Amen. Hallelujah. The renewing, it takes place in the spirit of your mind. This is what he's letting us know here. As long, God will do the renewing as long as we're obeying him. Remember we talked about being hearers and doers? Now the main part of the doing is saturating our mind. We're giving you word here, but saturate your mind when you get home, right? With that transforming word of God. Now, Paul, where we're at in Ephesians 4, he talks about the spirit of your mind. But let's look quickly here at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, he's not talking about renewing the spirit of your mind here, but what he's talking about doing here is completely different. This is where you're taking thoughts captive. This is where you're casting down imaginations. Now, in Ephesians 4, where we're at, he says, renew the spirit of your mind. Some preach, I know not here, but some preach that it's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Well, that don't fit because he says the spirit of your mind. Some teach, and not here, but some churches teach that it's talking about the human spirit. Again, it doesn't fit because you can't enter that mind in the realm of talking about our spirit. It's talking about the spirit of the mind. Now, in Romans chapter 12, he talks about renewing the mind. Like we said, it's taking the thoughts captive. It's casting down imaginations, those such things. But when we talk about the spirit of the mind, we're talking about that controlling force of those thoughts. It's what's controlling the thinking. It's what's controlling the decisions. It's what's controlling the emotions. When we take thoughts captive, as we should,
When we rein in those emotions as we should, when we line up our decisions with the Word of God as we should, sometimes we'll find that we have a continuous battle in thought patterns or a continuous battle in some decisions that we have to make or a continuous battle in some emotions. But maybe the reason being is because we're not getting down into the well. We're not getting down into the spirit of the mind, which is the controlling force of those thoughts. So I can take a thought captive and wipe that out of the way for the moment. I can fight through an emotion and line that up. I can grid it and bear it and make a right decision. But if I don't get to the spirit of the mind and take care of what's inside there, that's going to be an ongoing battle. Because it's what's in the spirit of the mind that can be the controlling force of those thoughts. How's that stuff get down there anyways? Oh, we could go in so many different directions with this and time won't allow it. But you know, living life as an unbeliever, You can experience divorce. Divorce is such a horrible thing to have to go through. Because you're taking two people that became one, spirit, soul, and body. And now they're being completely torn apart. Now some situations it needed to be that way. But as a result, if things were not dealt with right then and there, rejection, all manners of fear, bitterness, all got dumped down in that well. And sexual abuse, physical abuse, any kind of trauma. These are just some of the negative things that we can talk about. These are things that get down in the spirit of the mind. And so then we'll see results of it. But we don't know what's controlling it. I'll give you an example. Can I give you an example? When I was running with the devil, like I told you I was, during that time, I had an abortion. And now, if you've had an abortion in this place, don't come under condemnation. It's under the blood of Jesus. And if you need healing from that, God's got healing for that. Amen? But when I left that abortion clinic, I was already a party girl. But when I left that abortion clinic, I spiraled out of control with alcohol and drugs because I was burying it rather than dealing with it. So all that went down in the well. Now I got born again, got filled with the Holy Spirit, started going to church. It wasn't though until I started going to a Word of Faith church that started teaching me how to believe the Word of God and how to renew the spirit of my mind. But until that, guess what was happening? Had my firstborn son. So excited to be a mom. Love that boy. Oh, I love him. He'll always be mama's baby boy, though he's 30-something years old now. But I was always afraid I was going to somehow cause his death. I was terrified somehow I was going to cause his death. Bill would wake me up in the middle of the night because I was at the end of the bed tearing the blankets apart because I thought I lost Billy in the blankets and had suffocated him. Facts were, Billy didn't even sleep in our room. I nursed him, but I didn't want to make the mistake of nursing him in bed, so I kept him in his nursery and would go in there to take care of him. But that fear, I had no idea where it was coming from. I just thought, boy, I must really be an overprotective mom. Didn't know what was controlling all of that. That abortion that got thrown down in that well. Once I gave God access, say give him access. Once I gave him access and I let him get down in the well and deal with that, and that got out of there, I became one of the most confident moms you'd ever meet. That fear was gone. But it was the controlling factor of my emotions. It was the controlling factor of my thoughts. It was the controlling factor of some of the decisions I was making.
Bill and I, we were divorced. And we were divorced for 5 years. And God put this back together. Amen? But, oh, my gosh. And so we've been together. This will be 38 years. Amen. You happy?
I am.
But man, when we went through that divorce, we tore each other to shreds. And I didn't get into a whole lot of dating after that divorce. But what dating I did, I was a mess. I was all over the place. And then when we did remarry, you know, we were born again, but there was rejection. There was, you know, and he had stuff in his spirit too. There was, you know, just no trust. No, I mean, I'm my own woman. Mm-hmm. That's what happens to a lot of women who get divorced. I take care of me. I'm my own woman. I'm tough. And and nobody gonna hurt me again. You don't verbally say that because, you know, we're Christians now and we love each other. But we couldn't truly love each other and give ourselves to each other until we gave God access to the spirit of our mind and got that out of the well. So I didn't realize it was from that. I just thought I had grown up and matured and became my own woman. But really, I had an attitude and rebellion because of what was down in the spirit of my mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying, child of God? And so, but we, you know, it's not always comfortable to deal with that. Can I give you some scenarios? Can I do that? It'll be like, you got something down in the spirit of your mind that God wants to get out of there because he knows the liberty it's going to bring in your life. So he'll look for every opportunity. So you'll get caught up in praise and worship, whether it be here or whether it be at home. And you go in deeper, and all of a sudden the flashlight goes on. That's not comfortable. Because, you know, if you really allow him access and you pursue that area, you may have to let some defense down that you built yourself. You may have to let go of some wall, some crutch you've been hanging on to. You may have to realize, okay, it's not pastor, it's not my spouse, it's not my kids, it's been me all along in this thing that I've just not given God access to. It means it's going to demand perhaps an extreme change in your life and a level of vulnerableness you may not want to go to. But I'll tell you, when you give him access, so you get uncomfortable and it'd be like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I better go check on my kids in the nursery. See, God's taking the opportunity during that time of praise and worship where you're beginning to open up and he starts shining that light, but that gets uncomfortable. Or you'll be at home praying in the spirit, Sebe, Babush, and Daya, Kele, Bebe, Debando. And you start feeling that flow, Shebe, Bende. And you go deeper. He's drawing you in. Shebe, Baboku, Yando, Serete. But all of a sudden, he starts cracking something open. I better go check that roast. Let me see if anyone's called. And little do we realize that we're getting uncomfortable because there's something that's been down there a long time and he's wanting to bring it up and get it out of there because unbeknownst to us, it's been controlling our thoughts, been controlling our emotions, been controlling our decisions. Oh yeah, you may have been casting down. You may have been taking thoughts captive. You may have gotten through that. But I would perhaps consider that if it's been an ongoing battle for a period of time, maybe there's something in the well that we just need to surrender. Say, all right, God, I want to give you access. I've carried this around too long. You know, the discomfort of dealing with it only lasts for a moment. just for a moment, and you just deal with it for that moment, the liberty that is on the other side is amazing. I don't know how to teach other than with illustrations, and all I know to do is use my own experiences. I could use your stories, I suppose, but you'd probably rather me not. As a child, I was sexually abused. And, back in that day, nobody talked about it. You don't talk about that. And the perpetrator always tells you, don't you dare tell anybody. And so immediately goes down in the spirit of the mind. And that just stays there all those years. Carried that around for 30-something years. Hadn't told anybody. And all the time, I'd created walls I didn't know I'd created. Like men who were of that age, I'd be just kind of like, hi, how are you? Bless you. Right. There was not going to be any interaction. There wasn't going to be no connection. And you build walls. And then just other things that come along with that. And when that came up, I didn't want to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying it's this way for everybody. But one of the things that I had to do to deal with it is I had to tell somebody. Because I was told to never tell anybody. And that's the biggest deception of the devil, is to get you to hold that down on the inside. And I can remember the first time I told someone, it was my sister, and then it was Bill. And I shook like a leaf. I didn't want to say anything. It wasn't comfortable. I never talked about it. I never told anybody. And now I'm going to open my mouth and say it. It's easier to just avoid it, it seemed. This guy, we had been together for a long time. And I told him, you know what he said? He said, I knew it. I said, you knew it? I said, why didn't you ever say anything? He says, I knew when you were ready, you would tell me. I mean, where do you find guys like this, eh? Yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, if I knew someone knew it, I'd have to say, come on now, I know, let's deal with this. He's so gentle and just knew, you know. And so I had those few hours, boy, at the moment they seemed like the longest hours of my life, that I dealt with it. And then I forgave the perpetrator, and I received the healing of God. Guess what? That ain't there anymore. It ain't there. For so long, that wall seemed like my greatest protector. I was safe. But actually, it was destroying my life. And when I gave God access, no matter how uncomfortable it was, and let him dig that up out of my well and minister healing, now, I'm not afraid of anybody. I love everybody and got good relationships, friendships with men and women. And oh my goodness, you can't imagine what that did. That was part of what caused our divorce that time, because of what it did between us. And the crazy thing is, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm just going to go with it. I'll say it discreetly. But what it'll do in marriage, you'll be stone cold. Outside of marriage, baby, you is as loose as they come. That's what it does to you. And I played both parts. You see that?
But and all that was destructive. Carrying all that around. Then you give God access. And he gets that out of there. Oh, and then it controls nothing now. There's no controlling force. Amen? So I hit on a few things. But I don't know what your story is. I don't know if that what, you know, this can be in the realm of finances. Yeah, I talked about some pretty heavy stuff, I know. But this can be true in the realm of finances. This can be true in the realm of healing. I mean, finances, oh, that was another thing. You know, we grew up so poor. Poor people called us poor. We were proud to be poor. And and that was down in there. Controlling my financial decisions. Controlling my thoughts about prosperity. Controlling what I would do and wouldn't do with money. It had to come out. This morning, we're talking about connecting in the body of Christ. Amen? And so we've got to be aggressive. We've got to forcefully, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We got to forcefully go after the spirit of our mind. And give God access there. Cooperate with him. And let there be a total renovation in the spirit of our mind. And when we allow him to do that, we might find out that our spouse wasn't as much of a problem as we thought that that spouse was. Our pastor is not as much of an issue as we thought pastor was. Or that person or this person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can have things down in the spirit of our mind that are interfering with our interactions with one another. Amen. All right, let's see if there's anything else I want to give you here before I pray for you. We want to give God access to the spirit of our mind with his word. It's not comfortable. We may have to deal with hurts from the past. We may have to stop hiding. We may have to stop blaming. We may have to put down old habits. We may have to step into uncomfortable situations. See, you'll have to do something. You'll have to do something you wouldn't do before. You'll have to say something you didn't say before. Wherever it tried to pin you in and hold you down, you're going to have to get up and move past that. But your cooperation with the Word of God will give him access to the spirit of your mind where he can come in there and totally renovate that and get it out of there so it's not a controlling factor anymore. Amen? Is this helping anybody? So you may have to step into uncomfortable situations, but the only way we truly be able to relate to one another fully in covenant and in love is to put on that new man. Amen? Say that new man. That new man which after God, just like God, who is love, after God in righteousness and true holiness. See, the love of God, if you're a born-again Christian this morning, the love of God has already been spread abroad in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. You were recreated in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, you were recreated in love. Amen? It's your nature. It is who you are. The thing is, all that pertains to life and godliness has got to get past the spirit of the mind. And we got to make a determination that we're going to allow God to get out of there, whatever needs to get out of there. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Stand to your feet.